for the Lord. As we have heard, we want to express our condolences to Sister Edith and Elmer as they have lost their, Edith had lost her brother-in-law. We want to continue praying for the Holy Spirit will console the family and for the other ones who are sick. For Diane Sneed, for her, she had a surgery this past week. We want to continue praying for her this morning. And for the other ones in a bulletin, Father, we come to you this morning once again, O Lord. We sung, O Lord, songs. We worshiped your name. We glorified your name. We danced before you. Lord, now we want to pray for the ones who are sick, for the ones who are hurting, for the ones who are, Father, suffering right now. We pray in a mighty way that your Holy Spirit will just touch their lives, I pray, God. Holy Spirit, move in a mighty way among them, oh God. Father, if there's pain upon that body, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you, O Father, send that power from on high and you remove that pain in Jesus' name. Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have never changed. And you will not change. You have healed in the past, and you will heal in the present, and you will heal in the future, O Lord. And we ask of you, Lord, touch, bless, heal, transform in a mighty, precious way. Father, now as we go to the Word, we ask you, Father, that there will be no distraction this morning, but our hearts and our ears are attentive to you, Lord. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we're going to be sensitive to your voice, to your spirit this morning. We want to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in advance for what you're doing and what you're going to continue doing today. In your name we pray. Amen. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Praise God. It's nice to see you all at New Hope Christian Assembly. I know there was a lot of announcements and a lot of things happening this morning, but we want to also say that God was in our midst this morning, amen? The presence of God was in our midst this morning. We want to also thank the music team for their love and their dedication and for the way they serve in the worship capacity towards us and lead us into praise and worship. So thank you. Thank you very much from the bottom of our hearts this morning. But we're going to get straight to the Word of God this morning. And it is my our last part series of the Holy Spirit before we end up going to the next couple of weeks. We're going to be speaking about probably the prophecy the setting of where Jesus was born and all that stuff. And then on Christmas Day, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus this morning. Amen? So I encourage you, just bear with me one more service on the Holy Spirit series. And I was encouraged through all the messages that we have done in the last three. And today we're going to end up being the last one called The Positive Role of the Holy Spirit. So we looked at what? The Holy Spirit makes things happen. Then the second part we looked at, something happens when we encounter the Holy Spirit. And then the third one was power in unity. And when we work together in raising our arms, the Holy Spirit does things, and when we're steady into the Word of God. And this morning, I want to conclude with the positive role of the Holy Spirit. So John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. We're going to start with that text this morning. I hope you can see it up there. I'm trying to do my best with this PowerPoint so that everybody can see. If you're blind like me, it's going to take a bit of time. So just I have to, you know, do you see that? Do you read that? So let's read it together. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, you have to understand one thing. When I like to put text up there, you have to see I underline the words. And those are the key words that we're going to be looking at. It makes it all easier for us, okay? So, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict. What is he going to convict? The mind and the heart. Okay? The world of sin. This is the key word, world. We're going to look at the world for a moment. Convict and world later on. Of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. Because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So I titled it the positive role of the Holy Spirit. Now in our lives and also into this world. See, I was brought up that the Holy Spirit was spooky. I was brought up that the Holy Spirit would just convict people to go to hell. No, the Holy Spirit does not want people to go to hell. The Holy Spirit wants people to draw closer to Him so they can experience the power of God. That's the role of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants everybody to experience everlasting joy. So He will do everything in His power, everything that He can do to speak to an individual, to use someone that will touch that person's life to lead them to Jesus Christ. That's the power, the positive role of the Holy Spirit. And many of us had experienced that and said this, and we were probably taught or something that is convicting of sin. But we're talking about the world now here, okay? We're talking about the world for a moment here. This world is lost. This world, you and I were in this world one time, and you had no idea what was the truth. You had no idea who was Jesus. You had no idea what was the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. And the world is facing this situation today. So the Holy Spirit is working into this world, and He does everything in His power to lead people to Christ. And He will use anything in any method to lead people to Christ. That's His role. His role is not to condemn us and bring us to hell. He does not want us that. He wants us to experience that joy, that love, that peace, that last everlasting joy that never ends. That fresh living water that comes in your life and purifies us when it comes in our lives. That's what He wants us to experience. And we go and we say to this world, you're going to hell. Yes, they're going to go to hell if they don't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But the Holy Spirit's role is to speak to that heart. And you and I experienced that in the past, that He spoke to you once, He spoke to you twice, and He spoke to you three times, and you denied the voice of the Holy Spirit. Until that day, you were ready to receive that Spirit. Until that day, you were ready to receive Jesus. And that's why you and I can experience peace, joy, and love this morning. So this world, He's coming here. He will convict. He will convict the mind of the heart, the world of sin. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit into this world. And God does not want any one of us to perish, but have everlasting joy. Because you see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "For the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, and some count slackness, but longsuffering toward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should have come to repentance." That's the role of the Holy Spirit, that everyone will go and meet Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And look at these famous words in John 3:16. "For God so loved," what? "The world, that He gave His only begotten Son, and whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that in the world through Him that He might be saved." That's why He came here. That's why the Holy Spirit rose and moves into this world, to lead the people and to take people out of this world of sin and bring them to have this joy and this everlasting life. And I was taught up to say, the Holy Spirit is convicting you. You're going to go to hell, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to make me so scared. But when I look at the role of the Holy Spirit, He's leading me to get closer to Him. He's leading me to get closer to Him. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. Even though the Holy Spirit is leading people and trying to speak to the hearts and speak to the hearts day after day, let me tell you, New Hope Christian Assembly, there are people who will die without Christ. And we're going to look at that after the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Wow. It's amazing to see that the role of the Holy Spirit is to convict the spirit of the unbelief. The ones who do not believe Christ, the ones who do not believe in God, the ones who do not believe in the Holy Spirit, He will do anything to bring the unbelief to believing Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. John 16, verse 8 and 9. And when He has come, He can convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in Me. The one sin that brings you to hell is the sin of unbelief. Christ, Jesus Himself, can forgive any sin, but He can't forgive the sin of unbelief. And I'll explain it later on why He can't forgive. Never stop praying for the ones who have not experienced Christ. Now, I don't know why God is placing this in my heart today, but this might be a message for someone who really is working, coming in the church of tradition. Maybe this person is coming here because it's a church thing and we come week after week. But let me tell you something. If you do not experience the love of Christ or the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, you are not going to heaven. Let me tell you that. And I'm here to tell you through the scriptures that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I'm going to share it and I'm going to preach it with all my heart. Because I've seen even in church services, people there 20 years and 30 years have not even experienced Jesus Christ as their personal Savior going in a church because it was just a habit of going to church. But we're going to experience Jesus today. We're going to experience the love of Jesus in our hearts this morning. Forget about traditions. But have you ever encountered Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I don't know who I'm sharing this morning, but I'm going to preach it. Why should we pray? Why should you and I never stop praying for the unbelievers? Why should you and I never stop praying for the ones who do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? In Acts 26, 18, it tells us to open their eyes. There's someone that you know who is blind from the Word of God, who is blind from truth, and we're going to pray until those scales will come off their eyes, until they will see the light of Jesus Christ. That's where we're going to pray. I don't want them to perish. I don't want my family to perish away without Christ. I'm going to pray until something happens. We pray. We heard messages on that. Something happens when the Holy Spirit moves. When we encounter the Holy Spirit, something happens in our life, an individual life. So we're going to continue praying. So what? To open their eyes so they turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. There's many people that you know is controlled by the power of Satan. But now I know you and I are going to pray and going to believe and trust in the Almighty God that day will happen when your son or your daughter, your uncle, your aunt, or your spouse, whoever it is that you are having in your life will come away from the power of darkness and come into the light and serve Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, because you and I believe in the role of the Holy Spirit. You and I believe in the positive role of the Holy Spirit and believe that the Holy Spirit will touch and soften the hearts. I don't know if I'm in the right church this morning, but let me go and preach to another church, brothers. I am excited because I do believe that the Holy Spirit moves. And I said that in the past. Don't be afraid of the move of the Holy Spirit. If you're afraid of the move of the Holy Spirit, you will lose out on the greatest blessing in your life. Remember, the Holy Spirit is not spooky. God is a God of order. And when He does things in order. Amen? So we got power of Satan to God, and then by faith to me may receive what? Forgiveness of sins. You and I know many people who do not know God today. And you and I know that if they do not experience Jesus as their personal Savior, you and I know through the scriptures where they're going. So why not roll up our sleeves? And when there is a prayer service, why not roll up your sleeves and come to pray? Why not, when you hear it's praying and fasting, come to pray and fast? You and I are here because someone prayed for us. John 16:9-10. Of sin, because they do not believe in him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see me no more. The Holy Spirit is at work today. He's working right now in our midst. He's working into this world, even though you don't see it, but he's working into this world. He's working on every person who does not know God. And the question of righteousness has to do with who was right and who is right. The righteous one is Jesus himself. You and I cannot be right by serving in the church all the time or for our good works in the church. You and I will only become right when you and I experience the right person, and that is Jesus Christ himself. That's the only time you're going to receive that righteousness. You can serve 100 hours a week in a church and you say, I'm right with God. But if you have not experienced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all the work that you have done is void, because you need to experience the righteous one, and that is him himself. And the Holy Spirit is working to bring the ones who are crooked, the ones who are lost into this world, and bring them to the righteous place. And that is with Jesus Christ himself. Remember, the role of the Holy Spirit is not to bring you to hell. The role of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to heaven, is to draw closer to him. You can be right with God because of Jesus. John 16:10-11. That's another verse. And of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see me no more. And of what? Judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who is that ruler of this world? And he's judged. He was laughing at the cross when Jesus was like, he was laughing at him. He thought that he won the victory. He thought he won the battle. He won everything. But no, he had a big surprise. And you and I know that on that cross, 3 days later, he resurrected. He's alive today. And he put Satan in a position, in a place. And you're out of the way, because I won today. He's judged. He is judged. And there are people in this world that are going to be judged without Jesus Christ. And I want people that I know, family members, I don't want them to be judged and going to hell. But I want them to experience the love of Christ so that they can experience everlasting life. Don't you want all of our family members to be together in a place in heaven, having fried chicken, some lasagna, and having together and singing hymns and songs and all the family together? You know what it is? My heart pounds for souls. My heart beats for souls that doesn't know Christ. And obviously it starts with my family. And then it comes with the people around me. And then it comes to the world, people that I don't know. So you and I know and experience this in our families, that someone you know, close to you, who does not know Jesus. If I tell you there's a fire right there in that house there, and you have a possibility to go in, there's that child inside that place, it's going to burn, and it's going to burn fast, and that child is going to die without, you know, it just a fire comes and consumes and dies that person. Won't you do anything in your power to go there, in your strength to go there, to save that little child from burning to going to die? It's the same thing in a spiritual sense. You and I experiencing people around us who are burning and going to hell, and you and I must do everything in our power, in our strength, to go out and bring them and lead them to Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, Jesus here was speaking of the defeat of Satan, which was a form of judgment, not simply a victory, but God acts with justice, the prince of this world. Now in John 12, 31, 32, tell, now this judgment of this world, now the rule of this world will be cast out, and if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Jesus says, and he tells us this morning, even the ones online this morning, I love you. I don't want you to perish into this world in hell. I love you so much that I want you to come with me. I want you to experience that love. I want you to experience that joy. Come to me, he tells us. He loves us so, so much. So you can be free from the penalty of sin, but also the penalty of sin and the power of sin. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be sad or discouraged or miserable. Come on. We serve a Jesus that there is joy, that there is peace, that there is love. And when that heart is empty and when you have pain, he can fill your heart, the peace of God into your life because of the role of the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he went to his Father and he seated at the right hand of his Father and he sent a counselor and he sent a helper, and that is the Holy Spirit that comes. Maybe this morning there's someone here that have not experienced Jesus. And I'll say it again. And I'll say it again. Has not experienced Jesus. I encourage you by the end of the service or even now, just to bow your head and say, Jesus, come into my life. The Holy Spirit convincing people not to go to hell, but however to give them a better life and joy and peace. It's positive. Faith, hope, and the love of God, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Don't you ever forget the gospel of the good news. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lift Jesus up. And when we lift up Jesus, we are cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to guide, lead people to Jesus. Now we can understand what's the positive role of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And now, as times and times we have looked at saying that he's convicting us and going to hell. But no, the positive role of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to the hearts to lead them to Jesus. We're going to look at something this morning, a scripture that we've read on many occasions, but I want to unpack it and read it a little bit slow and try to understand what it's telling us here this morning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, 32. Now, I want to encourage you. I know the PowerPoint is up there and its service is there. You don't have to turn to your page, but we end up forgetting where Matthew is if we don't carry your Bible. So my encouragement, the PowerPoint is there to give a service, but I encourage you to bring your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, come and see me, I'll give you one. You need to have a Bible that is your sword. You need to carry it. You should not be ashamed. Walk with this Bible wherever you go. Now the other day I was at a shopping mall with my wife and we're having something to eat, a little bite, or whatever, Tim Horton coffee. And I see this man just open his Bible right in front of me. My wife goes, okay, don't start now. Don't start now. Because it got me so excited. I said, wow, a Bible in a shopping mall? That's a place where they go and pick up the women and the guys. They walk at Christmas time and they look at the men and they go, hey, and you have this guy here opening a Bible in front of us. I said, wow, this is amazing. So I was just, shh, relax. He's reading. Leave him alone. But just the Bible, it testifies. It testifies. So I encourage you, don't hide it from your car or from your neighbor and you run, but bring it. Okay? Even though the PowerPoint is up there, but I encourage you to carry your Bibles. It's going to be amazing. I have at least 20 Bibles, all different versions. And it's amazing to have the Bible because then you know where to go. I am lost without the Bible. PowerPoint, it confuses me, but the Bible, it just tells me where it is. My notes are all there. It's a lot easier for me. So, Matthew chapter 12, verse 31, 32. I just have to say that before. The unpardonable sin. So therefore, Matthew 31. Let's go to 31. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, here it is, will not be forgiven men. Go on. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So I like to just to unpack this and look at the context around this verse. Jesus is going to upload and bring the Holy Spirit into play. And Jesus gave so much education into his disciples in John 14 and John 16. So let's unpack it and go in verse 31 for a moment. The next slide. Therefore, he says, I say to you, verse 31, the next slide, please. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men. So that means, what is, see, every sin, if it's a lie, if it's greed, if it's murder, if it's theft, if it's lust, every sin, he will be forgiven. So you have sinned once, you have failed twice, you have failed three times. Remember, Peter had failed, but Jesus had forgave him. And because of his forgiveness, 3,000 people were saved because of one preaching, because he has accepted the repentance of Jesus Christ. Now you see, every sin. So if you have sinned this morning, he can forgive. If you have sinned yesterday, he can forgive. Thank God for the good news that he can forgive us, because we sin every day of our life. And blasphemy. What is blasphemy? Okay, we look at it, curse. We can look at it, we're swearing words. But I look at it also, reject. The unbelief. Blasphemy will be forgiven. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven a man. Now, what is this blasphemy against the Spirit? Do you know how many times the Holy Spirit is speaking to an individual? One time, two times, three times, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and he's rolling. That roll of the Holy Spirit is going, and he's trying to speak to the hearts of people, and the only one he is not going to forgive is the one of the unbelief, is the one who dies without Jesus Christ in this year to come, in the world ahead to come. He is not going to forgive, because you're going to die without Jesus Christ. So it's not about swearing against the Holy Spirit. It's when you reject the Holy Spirit for 1 year, for 2 years, for all the years. He's speaking to us, and we put him aside. And then when you die without Christ, that's the one he can't forgive. You might be asking me, but how come a teen died? You know, died at a very young age. He didn't have a second chance or a third chance or many chances of a 90-year-old person. Don't you know that if God created that person, he knows the heart of that person? Who are we to judge on that? You know, sometimes one person asked me one time that if a person commits suicide, would they go to heaven or hell? If a person is on the building and he throws himself down, and meanwhile he's like 10 feet up in the air and he says, Lord, forgive me. Don't you think God's forgiven him? Can I judge the person that he's going to hell? I don't know his heart, but God knows his heart. God knows his heart. And we're not here to judge. We're not here to say, oh, look at it, go to hell. And I've seen that in the past, and I heard that in the past. That is nonsense. You don't know the heart. God knows the heart. And God will do anything to allow, remember, not to perish into the, not to stay away from God. He wants the people. The role of the Holy Spirit is to bring people to him and to lead people to him. You can be here and you can pray, and either God can just move in a mighty way in Jamaica, in Africa, in Italy, wherever it is, in England. If you pray and you believe, the Holy Spirit will move in those hearts. Now, I remember years ago when we went to Italy, the promised land. I think everyone, you have to experience that. It's the promised land. So get ready for that day, okay? So years ago, 23 years ago, we were excited. My wife and I went to a honeymoon to Italy. And we were there, and all the family united in pizza and pizza and pasta and pasta and pasta. Every time pasta. So we were there and just having a time. And then they celebrated the last evening with us. And we have around 60 to 70 people around the table. And I remember my wife was on one head of the table, and I'm on the other head of the table. It was a long table. It was like the Last Supper. We're going to crucify me or something. It was a big table. And we were right there. And my wife had a little bit of understanding of Italian at that time. She didn't speak, you know, well Italian. She didn't understand as much as today. Be very careful. So we're there. And all of a sudden, my whole family started to attack me because who I'm following. And my wife sensed from a distance that something was wrong. She didn't understand what was going on because the words were coming out. But from a distance, she saw that something was happening there. So from a distance, she went and she put down and she prayed. In a matter of seconds, the Holy Spirit started moving in that place. And they gave me a chance to start preaching the gospel to these, my whole family and friends there, that they started to cry. What's happening with me? The Holy Spirit is working in their life. So the Holy Spirit has the power to do all things. And His role wasn't to convict them to go to hell. His role was to lead them closer and draw closer to them, to Jesus Christ, so they can experience the love of Jesus. Amen? Amen? That's the positive role of the Holy Spirit. So, however, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Here's Jesus saying, either in this world or the world to come. The role of the Holy Spirit is to lead people to Christ. And why does the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? Convince people so they can be right with Him. Convince people to be right with Him. Now look at this for a moment. In this ministry of the Holy Spirit, He says, you need, and you say no. The Holy Spirit, you need me. The Holy Spirit, you need me. You need me. And we say no for years and years and years. And we're rejecting. And God is still trying to lead them to Jesus. He's doing everything to lead people to Jesus Christ so that they can experience that same love. The prayers of rejecting the Holy Spirit will be answered. That means, I don't want my life with you, Lord. How many of us had experienced that in the past before? Now, you're here today. But in the past, the Holy Spirit was drawing and He used people. He used methods. He used the Word. He used televangelists. He used concerts. He used anything in His power to speak to your heart. And we rejected Him for years and put Him aside. You know, there can be people in the church who have heard the message, who have experienced and seen people being touched by the power of God, and still today they're rejecting the Holy Spirit. He is here today. And all He wants you to do is to open your heart as He comes in. He says, you're missing something good. You're missing something good. Just open your heart. He won't force Himself in. Open your heart. And when He comes, all things change. That's when you can start singing and dancing. That's when you can start shouting out to praise. Because you experience something in your life and change your life completely. The whole work of the Holy Spirit is to lead people to Jesus. Not to religion, not to a culture, not to tradition. The Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit is to lead people to Jesus Christ. And many times, we have seen about religion, about traditions. And when we bring religion and tradition, it would crush out the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I get excited when I speak about the Holy Spirit. And then in Matthew 12:32, it says, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And I said it before, there are people that you and I know will not go to heaven. Isn't that scary? And it's sad. But he knows the heart. He knows the heart. Who is he now in our lives? And I want to recap to all the things that we spoke about, the three parts, the last three parts of the Holy Spirit. And I want to recap of what we spoke about to conclude the series of the Holy Spirit. And everyone says amen. Amen? No. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. John 16:7 tells who the Holy Spirit is. He's what? He is our helper. He is our comforter. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our counselor. He's our strength. And he would teach you all things. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, and he guides you into all truth. And remember the first message that we spoke about was, remember, the Holy Spirit makes things happen. He is omnipresent. That means his presence is everywhere. He is omniscience. He knows all things. He is omnipotent. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He makes things happen. And something happens. The next was something happens when we encounter the Holy Spirit. Something happens when we encounter the river of life. And when you encounter that river of life, you will experience the river of peace. You will experience a breakthrough. You will be getting a blessing. You will be getting a refreshing in your life this morning. Remember, if you came with pain, remember that story. If you went with pain, you will leave this place with peace of God. If you came here this morning with pain, just get a little bit more serious as that woman was serious and pushed that crown and just touched the hem of Jesus. And the power on high came on her and she was instantly healed at that moment there. And this morning, it is the same thing by just going to the one who is in authority, to the one who is in charge, and that is Jesus Christ himself. You go there, you grab onto him, and you go on to the hem of Jesus, and you and I can experience that same power that woman experienced this morning. And then remember the Amalekites, the Amalek. Remember that one there? That those were the enemies that came and tried to destroy. But let me tell you something. We have an enemy, and the enemies are after us. He's going after our soul. He's going after our heart. He's going after our children. But the only way you and I will defeat it, the only way when you and I will lift up our arms before him and raise the word of God before him, and you start believing, and when Moses raised his hand, the things were happening. They were winning the battle. And when you and I work in unity, when you and I work in unity and remain steady in the word of God and remain steady in prayer, then you can start saying, the Lord is my banner, because victory has won. You take that banner and you put it in your family. You take that banner and you put it in your finances, because he won. That victory was won on that cross. And you and I can experience it. And you say, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. The Holy Spirit make things happen in church. The Holy Spirit make things happen in church. You believe in that this morning? You believe in that this morning? And you and I are going to start sharing testimonies, because God is going to work in the people's lives. Because God is going to touch. God is going to restore. God's going to heal. God's going to bring people back to Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. And I believe it. And I believe it. And I declare it in Jesus' name that that's going to happen, because that's the God that you and I serve this morning. Take the banner and say, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner. Let's all stand for a moment this morning. And as the band will come up forth and will lead us into a song, and you start believing, you start praying right now. You don't waste any time. You don't waste any time at all. As soon as they start playing, you start worshiping the Lord. As soon as they start playing, you start calling on the name of Jesus and believe that God, the Holy Spirit, will move in their lives this morning. Amen? That is my prayer this morning. I have people in my life that I need to pray for. I have people in my life that don't know Jesus as the personal Savior. Am I the only one? Let me see how many hands here. Let's know someone. All of us. And I want to encourage you, every single one of you who raised that hand will come forward and believe. You not to kneel down, we kneel down. And I'll be the first one to kneel down because I have people who are dying without Christ. As soon as they start singing, you'll come forward and you start believing and believing and declare that Jesus will save that person right now in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Come on, church. If you really want salvation to your family, if you really want the Holy Spirit to move, you start praying and believe in the power of God this morning. Believe in the power of God this morning. You deserve the glory. Don't stop praying.